You know, we just wanted to kind of minimize his reps in an effort to get more productivity. You know, we just trying to rep manage in terms of the totality of the big picture. He wasn't less of a focal point in terms of our intentions of what we wanted to do offensively, but we did want to cut his reps a little bit in an effort to get higher quality play just in general.
Yeah, seven, you know, Trevon, he's traveled with GP a little bit, and he's a good corner. But, you know, GP's also a good receiver, so, you know, he just didn't get involved as he usually does today. So, yeah.
So Mike Tomlin talking about the relative lack of snaps for George Pickens and Justin Fields saying that Dallas's cornerback's really good. We have had a love-hate relationship with Pro Football Focus on this show, but Diggs, one of the lowest graded corners in the NFL this season, and seemed like he had his way with George Pickens. George Pickens, who, by the way, was wearing eye black that said, open bleeping always, and goes out there and has three catches for 26 yards. A long of 21, so the other two catches went for 5 yards. Targeted seven times, so the percentage there, also not good. And after the game, Doran, you had a Cowboys defensive back, Jordan Lewis, walking through the hallway. This is captured on somebody's camera. I saw it all over Twitter. Jordan Lewis goes, Pittsburgh needs a receiver. George Pickens weak. Mm. Now, Jordan Lewis and George Pickens got into it on the final play of the game. It was a petulant penalty, I call it, from Pickens, where he grabs his face mask and throws him to the ground. So the frustration boiling over for Pickens. And one more point of context here. So Tomlin says, yeah, kind of like Cam Hayward, we need to limit the snaps for Pickens so he can be more effective. Cam Hayward, I think 85 years old, Doran?
Yeah.
I think I got that right.
Pretty close.
55 snaps for the 35-year-old. Van Jefferson offensively. Van Jefferson, 47 of 58 snaps. Calvin Austin, 44 of 58 snaps. George Pickens played just 34 of 58 snaps. Mike Tomlin's description, his explanation, made zero sense to me. What's going on here, man?
Very odd.
Do they not trust him to block? I mean, we know, because that matters a lot to them. They want guys who can block out there on the edge. But then you got Calvin Austin play more. Can't be the blocking thing. Calvin Austin can't block me. All right, he can block me.
It's very, very odd. I mean, there's two ways that you can go with this. It's that their personnel in this game was different, and they didn't want George out there because they had a bigger personnel or a heavier personnel because they wanted to run the football. But he still could be that single receiver, and you saw Van Jefferson doing that a lot more. Or George is in the doghouse, and I don't really want to say what I'm thinking right now, but there's two ways to go with it. There's two ways. I mean, the production of a young receiver and limiting that because you're making it almost an equivalent of Cam Hayward, like, that makes zero sense.
Yeah, that explanation did nothing for me except wonder if Mike Tomlin's okay. Are you okay, Mike? Because that answer is, well, it's ridiculous, frankly. You have one bona fide threat on offense. One. It's not the first round running back. He's not getting it done. Pat Freiermuth has had four more catches in every game up until this one where he had three, but he did have a touchdown. He's your number two target, and he can be a chain mover and he can be a volume guy, but he's not stretching the field for you. There is no excuse for Pickens not to be out there for just about every single play. And so if it's on Pickens, well, that's no good that they can't trust him. If it was simply because they like what the other guys do in the running game, then Arthur Smith deserves to get raked over the coals, and Mike Tomlin deserves to get raked over the coals for this. I think we'll probably get a better answer from Arthur Smith on Thursday than we did from Tomlin just there. I feel like Arthur has been really expansive, and he's done a good job describing things. And I think he's been really honest in his press conferences on Thursdays. But until then, I don't think we're getting any answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a really bad look, man, when you're the guy with the eye black that says, open, bleeping always, and on a third down in this game, wasn't a perfect throw from Justin Fields. I don't care. Ball goes right through his hands.
Yep.
Right through his hands. A money moment Dallas scores on their next possession. I've been crushing the defense all morning long and saying they're allowed to get off the field too. In that instance, you make that catch, you keep the chains moving, and you go. And you go. And he couldn't make the most routine of the routine plays there. After, let's call this what it is. Last week, he fumbles that football game away. Yep. And then later on in the game, has a play where he's on the sideline, and he's holding the thing out there like a loaf of bread again. So he didn't learn from the mistake. Maybe that's why he's not out there. All I know is he wasn't out there as much as the other guys, and Tomlin's explanation makes no sense. Ipso facto, 1 + 1 = 2. Something's going on here. What is it? I don't know. You say you think you might know. I think they're upset with the guy. The consistency element of it.
Like, how upset, though? Because
you can't be cutting off your nose to spite your face. Like, you can be upset with them, okay? You can't ship him to Carolina, right? Hey, you can't go down that path. We can't go there again. And they're 3-1, right? And he caught a bunch of balls last week. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Seven catches, 11 targets. Like, you fumble the game away, okay, but you can't be upset with the workload you're getting.
Mm-hmm. I have zero answers, really.
It's same just, with Tomlin.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And, like, whose call is that? Is that Arthur Smith's call or is that Tomlin's call? I mean, somebody has to ask that question tomorrow, like, and get an answer. And keep asking it until you get an answer because
yes.
it just doesn't make any sense. And you would think that if he was in the game, the defense would change. And then where he's out of the game, it's like, oh, is Van Jefferson really going to scare us? Okay, we're going to pack the box, and that's why you can't run the football.
They need another receiver. I mean, desperately need another receiver.
Yeah.
And this was last game, too. This game was the most honest reflection of their roster holes that we've seen to this point in the season. They wanted to take Pickens out of the game. And my biggest problem with Pickens is I think he's easy to take out of it because he gets in his head.
For sure. Nailed it.
Like, it used to be, I remember why you go back to like 2012, 2013 in the Penguins. And how do you beat the Penguins? Well, the Boston Bruins are going to get all up in the face of Evgeny Malkin. They're going to get him emotional, and they're going to get him off his game. He's going to take stupid penalties. He's a hell of a player, but can sometimes get in his own head. That's what I'm seeing out of George Pickens, is that when things aren't quite great, going his way, he's not a, I'm going to go fix it. I'm going to go work harder guy.
Shut down.
He's shut down. He's a shutdown guy. And that's an immaturity thing. But now we're talking year three in the league. And I explained away some of his problems as we led up into the season. I said I was worried about it, but young men, young people, myself included, are going to have immaturity issues, and you got to grow up. It's year three. It's time to grow up. And he got taken out of the game schematically, and then he got taken out of the game mentally. And if he's your number one, you're not going to win a lot of football games like that. I wonder if they were trying to send a message to maybe have it go the other way.
I mean, do you have time to send messages, though?
No.
Like, you send messages during the week, not during the game on primetime TV whenever you need to win. And I really would love to hear an explanation for real tomorrow because there's a lot of thoughts going through my head right now, and I am not like a hot take guy all the time, and I don't want to throw it out there just yet, but I have no other explanation to give anybody right now for with the lack of production of George Pickens and the lack of reps.
He is not a number one wide receiver.
No, he's a number two. He's always have been.
Mm-hmm.
Has been. They were hoping he could be a number one. And that was, we've been saying that for months, hoping. And it's just, I know their game plan was to run the football, which was very obvious because of the run defense, but that didn't work, but you still have to have George on the field as a threat. And they just didn't do that.
Right, that's the other thing. Okay, so they're taking you away.
Is he hurt?
Yeah, you got to be on the field. I don't think he's hurt. He's 17th in the league right now in receiving yards. You know, he's been targeted 36 times for 23 catches. Like, those aren't number one wide receiver numbers. They're not. You know, and every team's got their own wide receiver. So, you look at the 32 receivers in the football. There's difference between being a number one guy and a team's number one guy.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson had been a team's number one guy for a while. He's not a number one wide receiver. I watched Jamar Chase yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, 200 yards.
Yes. Justin Jefferson. That's a number one wide receiver.
Mike Evans.
Brian Thomas Jr. as a rookie coming in. That guy, to me, looks like a number one wide receiver. Malik Nabers looks like a number one wide receiver. But George Pickens, forget the mental side of things. He's not putting up enough. And it's not like the opportunities haven't been there either. Like, they're doing their best to take him out of the game because he's their biggest threat.
Mm-hmm.
Understandable. On third and four, he's open and a ball goes through his hands. Make the play. You had the chance against Indy. Don't fumble the ball. You're a hero. You win the game probably. Like, that's a missed opportunity. Like, when you had a chance. So there, I'm sure he feels like there are times where he's open and he's not getting the football. He's had chances with the ball go through his hands or him give the ball to the defense. That's on nobody but you, man. And with the eye black, it's just a terrible look. It's very Juju-esque to me.
Yes.
And it's like Najee Harris flipping the double bird. You better back it up. You better back it up. If you're going to be the guy that walks out on the football field and says, F you, Indianapolis, you better take it to him. Didn't.
Mm-mm.
Then you better respond the next week, Najee, didn't. If you're George Pickens and you got the cool eye black on, I like it. If you go out there and back it up, didn't back it up. What do you think's going on here with George Pickens? Do you view him as a number one wide receiver? Are the issues bigger than him, or is he himself an issue? 412-928-9370 on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We'd love to know what people think about what's going on with George Pickens. We'll take some of your calls on that when we come back. Mark Caboldi at 9 o'clock. A reminder that October is Fire Prevention Month. 93.7 The Fan and the National Fire Sprinkler Association remind you to test your smoke alarms monthly. And I would like to give a public service announcement not to eat a frozen corn dog at 12:30 in the morning. I am in a bad way over here. That's just, we don't need to be entertained on the East Coast until 1 a.m., man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we just don't need that. And I was doing everything I could to stay awake, and one of those things I did was eat a corn dog at 12:30.
A corn dog.
Real dumb. Shows a serious lack of maturity on my part.
Yes, a corn dog.
Mm-hmm. It was good. Trader Joe's frozen corn dog, but I don't need to be eating at 12:30.
Do you dip it in mustard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I took out a little glass bowl, a little Heinz up in there. A little Acrisure ketchup, and then a little French's, dip. And my wife ate the other one. Wonder how she's doing today. I was going to eat two. If I ate two, it'd be you and Callis. I'd be here in person. Mentally, I'd be totally checked out. Is George Pickens mentally checked out? 412-928-9370, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. We rattled off some of the number one receivers in the NFL in the last segment, and one thing a lot of these guys seem to have in common, you need a good quarterback, right? But you look at some of the best receiving yardage numbers in the league, some of the best reception numbers in the league, and every one of those Batmen has a Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers' Robin is Van Jefferson. Like, I actually at one point was like, Van's having a good game.
That's what same.
5 targets, 3 catches, 26 yards. It ain't going to cut it.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to cut it. So they have needed a number 2 or number 1 wide receiver going back all through the offseason since they traded Deontay Johnson. Report this weekend from Diana Russini that the Steelers are making an aggressive offer for Devontae Adams. She also wrote that George Pickens might be available. And that's staggering to me. She's also not wrong a lot. Does a really good job for The Athletic covering the NFL. And then you see last night,
yeah,
34 snaps out of the 58.
Mm.
First of all, you need more than 58 snaps. Come on, offense.
It's
ridiculous. And that's because the Steelers' defense was horrific on third downs. The Steelers' offense was worse on third downs. So I was going to come in here today The Jets are as desperate a team as there could be in the NFL. You go to London and lose right after you lose to the Broncos. Aaron Rodgers played real bad. They're desperate for Davante Adams. Are they more desperate than the Steelers? Probably, because you've got Rodgers and you don't want to piss him off because the season's done. The season's done if Rodgers is in a bad way. But the Steelers might be neck and neck from a wide receiver need standpoint. They, in fact, the Steelers need a wide receiver more than they do.
Yeah, they have a bunch.
Yeah, they're just not. Justin Fields or Russell Wilson just aren't friends with Davante Adams.
Right. It smells funky.
It does.
It's starting to smell a little
that could
funky.
Be the that could be the midnight corn dog you're smelling.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
There's something going on here. George Pickens is as talented as they come. But he's mercurial. He's tough to figure out from a mental evaluation standpoint. And I don't say things like that lightly. I mean, I got a terrible anxiety, so I'm not talking about that. Just, you know, what we see it all the time with wide receivers in the NFL. But when you do have your chances, you need to make good on those chances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my biggest problem with George Pickens. Is he getting game planned around? Of course he is. He's their biggest threat. But when you do have those opportunities, you can't have your head in your hands.
Right.
You can't be moping. You can't be slamming your helmet down. You can't be committing penalties at the end of football games because you're a sad sack. No, you need to man up and get out there, and you need to make good on your opportunities. You want to be a wide receiver one? You want to be always bleeping open guy in your eye black? Then go out there when you are open, make the plays, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now he's one of the biggest disappointments on this team. Callis?
Corn dog guy says man up.
A valid point by you.
I mean, do the Steelers look at it like this? Like, all right, Russell Wilson and Davante Adams and our number two is whatever. Will that be better than Justin Fields and George Pickens as our number one and the number two, whatever? I don't know. Maybe they're thinking a little bit ahead of everybody else. I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe they're like, hey, we'll get rid of George to get Davante Adams, a real true number one, and pair him with a guy that has won a Super Bowl, and that's going to look a lot better than George Pickens and Justin Fields. Don't know.
Man, I can't rule anything out.
Right.
Diana wrote what she wrote, so I'm just going off of her report. They traded Diontae Johnson, a good player, because he couldn't get along with his teammates. They traded Chase Claypool. He had a great rookie season. He had 900-some yards as a sophomore NFL player, and they trade him. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have traded him, but they've done a lot of stuff with Omar Khan at the helm that you don't feel like they would have done before.
Mm-mm.
So do I think the Steelers are going to trade George Pickens? No, I do not. But can I rule it out? Absolutely, I can't rule it out. Absolutely no. Dave in Newcastle next up. Good morning, Dave. Sorry, buddy. You've been waiting a long time. How are you?
No problem, man. All good. So let's think about everything that we just talked about here and then look at how can you really analyze Justin Fields' play. So you have a wide receiver that really is a wide receiver one. There really isn't a wide receiver one. He's a head case. You have Van Jefferson, right, dropping that sideline pass that he couldn't haul in.
Mm.
That shows you what he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Hayward dropping passes, right? His QB rating was still like a 93. So how can you even evaluate what you have?
All well said, Dave. I'm not going to cut you off here either. You can say your piece. All well said, it's because he put up yards and numbers the last 2 weeks with the same cast of characters. Look, he's playing with his hands tied behind his back. Russell Wilson can be doing the same thing. They have serious holes on this offense. Their offensive line banged up. They're not playing who they want to be playing, but that offensive line's no good right now. Najee Harris, no good right now. You're right.
Right.
It's not a great cast of characters, but Fields was able to make good with that the last 2 weeks.
Let's lump on top of that. Now you're limiting the snap count for your number one wide receiver on top of that this week.
So what do you think that means? What do you take from that? Why do you think his reps are limited?
There's definitely something going on there. Like you said, that makes absolutely no sense. Everybody knows he's our number one target. I don't know. There's whether smoke or fire, there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
That made absolutely no sense. So, you know, and I think it's just what we have is a great defensive coordinator as a head coach. I mean, that's what you have. The fact that you're in a position, right, where you are in this position where you don't have a number two receiver, that says everything about the philosophy of the team.
They won it, and thank you so much for the call, Dave. We appreciate
it. That was a good call.
Very good call. They won another receiver. That's why they got to the finish line with Ayuk, and I think we all know what happened there is Ayuk used them. He used them, but they wanted him. They want Devontae Adams, too. They wanted Mike Williams.
Did everybody want a number two wide receiver, or did half of the people in that building feel like they had that number one, number two wide receiver, and maybe somebody else didn't want that number two wide receiver and shipped them away?
I think, and we've talked about this, and I think you've nailed it from the start, Tomlin didn't want Deontay Johnson. Tomlin didn't think he could win with Deontay Johnson. Maybe he's right. And Dante Jackson had his moments last night. He'd been pretty good for them. Pretty good for them. But, yeah, I think that was more of a Tomlin call than anything. And then Omar Khan has to pick up the pieces.
Yes.
Yeah. And they tried. But they do know that they need a guy. They know that they need a guy. And I'd like to see them get Devontae Adams, because I think it gives you a clearer evaluation of Justin Fields, to Dave's point, or it would help Russell Wilson in his effort to try to win
football games.
Even
if it means that George is gone?
No, I wouldn't trade Pickens. I wouldn't trade Pickens. But I'll tell you, I've never felt worse about him getting a second contract with the Steelers than I do right at this very moment. Like, they're not... A, he ain't worth $30 million. And B, they know the problems way better than we do.
Listen.
They know why they played him 34 snaps.
If he only played 34 snaps and there's actual issues, what he did at the end of the game, what do you think it's going to look like on Sunday, this coming Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
If there's actual real problems, and that's the reason why his snap count was down, and then whenever he's in there, doesn't make plays, and then does what he did at the end of the game, what's it going to look like against the Raiders?
It's a great question. This is a classic case, I think, of cutting off your nose to spite your face. If the lower snap count were some kind of punishment for the fumble or from other things that we may not well even know about, I think you got to understand who you're working with. Like, some guys, you bench, you cut back on their opportunities, and they're going to use that, they're going to take that, it's going to be motivating. Other guys are going to go in the tank. I think Pickens is a guy, you need to gas up, and it ain't work. It ain't work because they've done it the opposite way, IMO. 412-928-9370. Wouldn't mind seeing Roman Wilson either. I mean, just give it a shot, right? I mean, give it a shot.
I don't know. I don't know how much a rookie that hasn't played basically any snaps in preseason or in camp can really do for you right now, to be honest. It's a lot harder than it seems.
No doubt. No doubt.
He's not Malik Nabers.
No.
He's not Brian Thomas Jr. He's not one of these top receivers, first-round pick receivers, and that's nothing it's nothing against him. But I don't know if he's going to be a world beater whenever he goes in there.
He's probably not. That he's not playing, and you see what they got out there.
Right. Says something as well.
It says something about him. That I'm even asking the question also says something about them. And I think I kind of meandered off a point that I wanted to make in the last segment. We knew, or at least we thought coming into the year, slot corner and number two wide receiver would be big sore spots on this team. Beanie Bishop got his ass worked yesterday. Pains me to say he was the worst player on the field, period.
Yes.
Not close. I don't know what PFF gonna say about it. He should be the lowest graded player on either team. He was a disaster, and Van Jefferson's out there with as many catches as George Pickens. Both of their giant glaring holes coming into the season, it wasn't more on display than at any point than yesterday. That you got losing players in both of those positions right now, and I blame Beanie, but I also blame them. I blame them for wide receiver too. Like Ayuk. Where's plan B? Where's plan C? Where's plan D? What's Tyler Boyd doing? Like, get another warm body in there, for God's sakes. So it shouldn't be shocking that they've underperformed at those positions, because really, is it underperforming or are they just not good enough? You're furrowing your brow.
I am, because this is the first game that they actually faced a head coach that wasn't in their first year. Right? I mean,
first year at that their particular spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. which is everything is new, which you can take advantage of coaches. I don't know if that's a necessary, you know, I don't know if that's a real point right now, but I was just thinking, like, yeah, you can win games against new systems.
Shane,
but now you have somebody that knows how to coach.
Well, so Steichen was there last year and kicked Tomlin's ass.
Right.
But he set the blueprint, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he did.
We're just going to keep going after the nickel corner. We're just going to keep going after that guy. And they didn't fix it. It got worse game over game. And Mike McCarthy, look, say what you will about not winning more with Aaron Rodgers. Like, he can scheme up an offense now. And they saw the sore spot, and they just kept going at it and going at it and going at it. And in the final offensive play of the game for Dallas, Beanie Bishop's out to lunch. And I know Elliott took responsibility for it after the game. That ain't on him.
Nope.
That ain't on him. Nothing drives me more insane, dude, from an analysis standpoint, than the thing we all thought would suck sucks. And so if we saw that coming in, if I saw that coming in, how are we going to let the thing that sucked keep sucking? And Sutton ain't going to be back now for another 3 games. Like, you got to make good. You got to figure it out. Bad place to be. 412-928-9370. We got a ton of calls on the line. Still so much to get into, and we'll continue to talk to you when we come back. You can also tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Akersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Who do you think Mike Tomlin's going to start at quarterback next week? You know the options. Fields, Russ. 67% of people saying it's going to be Russell Wilson, and we both agree.
Hey, listen, Kyle Allen looked all right.
Dorn, I kid you not, we had a text. Why aren't we talking about Kyle Allen more?
I mean,
and I don't know if it was sarcastic or not.
Well, honestly, if they were to win that game, I think that might have been honestly the turning point of the game. Like, you could make an argument that was probably one of the biggest plays of the game, that throw down the middle to go in there cold after a handoff, thinking that it's going to be another handoff. It's your second string quarterback.
Laser beam.
And that was a big play.
Really, well, and then when Fields got back in there, they went they went up tempo.
They got the rhythm.
Bang, 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 bang. And it leads to those questions. Why don't you do more of that earlier on in the game? These slow starts have crushed them this year. Crushed them. Offensively, they've had slow starts every game except against Denver, where it looked like they moved the ball, but the penalties made it wind up be a slow start. It's popcorn, as Mike Tomlin would say. We also had a few brain farts in the last segment, Doran. We don't need to revisit the brain farts. I've been there. You've been there. This may well be the least productive workday of the year in Pittsburgh in a long time.
Yes.
Long time.
Yes.
So let's all have respect for one another.
Mm-hmm.
My critical thinking muscles, not quite what they probably should be. Sister got married. You go to Chapel Hill, and then you had to do pregame and postgame yesterday. Oh, my God.
Fire. People calling me out on the text line.
No. I was doing this more to make fun of myself and to say, I feel like the collective Pittsburgh going to have a tough time at work today.
Yes.
Like, Mulsey's kids, for whatever reason, had a 2-hour delay, I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which, chef's kiss. Just cancel school. It sucks when you lose. I think everyone's got a nice collective pep in their step today if you stay up till 1 a.m. and the team finds a way to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But then they lose and you go, why the hell did I stay up for that?
Mm-hmm.
50-minute mark on the Fan upcoming, and it's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Caboli going to be joining us for a full hour coming up at 9 o'clock. He's Mr. Down in the Dumps when things are going well. He's going to crush the team today.
Well, I asked him before the game. I saw him walking into the media entrance, and I was like, what do you think is going to happen? He's like, I think they're going to lose. I was like, oh, there's Mark. He's just walking in right now, look, on cue.
Yeah, he texted me, probably one of those, hey, let me in. Well, we'll get you.
Yeah.
We'll get you. All right, before we get back into the Steelers with the foremost authority on all things Steelers, Mark Caboli, let's give you a little around the NFL segment brought to you by Champ Tires. All brands in every size. Let's go. Right on cue. Cincinnati's warming to the task, but they lost the football game. That defense ain't getting better all year. So that was a classic game. That was a really fun watch. The defenses were terrible, but both quarterbacks were making outstanding plays. Joe Burrow's really good. He's not the reason why they're losing football games. Lamar Jackson had his Heisman moment yesterday, too. One of the great touchdown passes of his career. Maybe one of the highlights of the year when it's all said and done this season. Baltimore's found themselves, though. And here they are tied with you atop the AFC North at 3-2. Doran, their arrow's pointed up. The Steelers' arrow is pointed down. Mathematically, for Cincinnati, they're in a really tough spot. But right now, which of those three teams is the best, and which of those three teams do you think is playing the worst football?
That's a tough question.
Thank you.
I think the Ravens clearly are the best. Playing the worst, I got to go with the Steelers. I got to go with the Steelers because you would bet money that the defense for Cincinnati could figure out just a little bit. And if they do that, they're on to something because their offense is insane.
Their offense is so good, and they would go – all they need to do, frankly, because last year their defense was so bad, Cincinnati's, all they need to do is get to a place where their defense is okay, and they're going to start winning a lot of football games. They've got one unit playing terribly, one unit playing elite football. I think the Steelers have two units playing bad football right now.
And I love how we just skip over the Browns.
They're so bad, Doran. That our good friend Ken Carmen from our brother station in Cleveland, he tweeted out yesterday, one team deserves it, one team doesn't deserve it. We'll talk to you at 6 a.m. I took that to mean they're doing Guardians baseball talk today at 6.
You know, yeah.
One team's in the playoffs, one team's getting it done, the other team stinks. Stinks.
Wow.
When you look at EPA, so expected points added per play, Deshaun Watson, the worst 5-game stretch for the Browns since they came back into the league.
Wow. Wow.
The second worst, Deshaun Watson's first 5 games last year.
Oh, my God.
So, Pittsburgh fans, Steelers fans, you got reason to be happy today, and it's because at least your team ain't that team. Baltimore's got it going now, man.
They do.
They got it going. Derrick Henry got it going. Derrick Henry, slow start first couple of games. And Jason LaConfora joined us, who's in Baltimore, and he said, I just don't see the fit. I don't know that Derrick Henry fits what they want to do. What's he think now? Because I don't know how the hell you stop those guys.
Can't.
You can't. Lamar Jackson threw for over 380 yards,
mm-hmm.
4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And Derrick Henry breaks the game open, ends the game with his run at the end. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about the Steelers and their place in the AFC North and if they could put some distance between them and the other teams, and there's still distance between they and Cincinnati, but Baltimore's got to be absolutely the safe money to win the division right now. What a difference two weeks makes. Anything else stand out to you this weekend? I got one.
I mean, I'm going to go back to, just Jaden Daniels. I mean, we're not talking AFC, but just as a whole, I mean, that guy's on fire. And what he did to the Browns, I mean, he's on fire. Josh Allen, coming close to winning against Houston, winning it in the end. Aaron Rodgers, that's big.
That was mine.
That was yours?
Yes.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, they just, it's going to get dark real quick, and it's already getting dark. It's going to get dark real quick up there in New York, New Jersey, wherever they're at.
East Rutherford, New Jersey,
yes.
I think is where
I
it
think
is.
So.
Yeah. New Jersey's football team. One of the two. Yeah, I think if they were already desperate for Davante Adams, they're more desperate now to get Davante Adams in and wearing Jets green. All right, coming up next for a full hour, we've got Debbie Downer, Mark Caboli. We all feel pretty bad about the Steelers today. We're about to all feel worse, I think. What's he think they should do at quarterback? I think we all have the answer to that. But why? We'll talk to Mark for a full hour coming up next. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 64.